I am so excited for my special guest this week. We have October Odom. Hey, girl.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, everyone.
And then we also have Mr. Marcus Mateo.
Hey.
I am so excited to talk award season with y'all because y'all are my movie friends down. Okay. We love the films. We love the cinema.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us. Like, yeah.
I know. Like, thanks for even thinking of me to chit chat and dish with Tish.
I mean, of course, I had to. The first time we actually bonded October was playing Blockbuster, and we both had that Scorpio where it was like, oh, that's my Judy over there. Judy. She on my level. And then you brought Marcus into my life, and I was like, oh, okay, I get it, because y'all are besties. And I said, okay, all right, these are my people.
Right.
Full circle moment that I also bought Tish that Blockbuster
for my birthday.
Oh, you did?
He did.
Yes.
I was so excited too. I was so excited. And we played the fuck out of that all weekend, and we still do.
Oh, have you been playing with your friends?
Yeah, I make them play.
Fun. It's not fun. Like, I enjoy playing with y'all because, like, I know that these people know film. So it's like, this is going to give me a run for my money. You know who else was good? Luis.
Oh, yes. Yes. Luis. And a devoted listener. Shout out to Luis. We love you.
Shout out, Luis.
Hey,
I know you didn't think your name would come up, but it did.
It did. Oh my God. Well, it's award season. It's almost done. I'm so sad it's almost over. Next week Sunday is the Oscars, which is so exciting, but crazy that it's almost over. We had the SAG Awards this weekend, and it was one thing I will say about this award season that I'm living for is that last year I was so over the Oppenheimer sweep. Like, it was so predictable. Like, we knew that was going to clean up. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Everything Everywhere All at Once. It was like, okay, like, I love these movies, but it's also like, we know what's going to happen. Whereas this season, I don't know, girl. It's all over the place, but it's exciting. Let's dish about it. So Mr. Timothée Chalamet won in a surprise for a complete unknown. And he was shocked too. If you look at his face, he was
legitimately shocked.
And also Adrian Brody, girl, his face was cracked. You could tell he was ready. He was like, he was getting ready to get up. And he was like, oh shit.
You think so? I don't know if I got that vibe.
You don't think
from
so?
Who?
From Adrian.
His face was cracked.
I have to look at it again.
Yeah. Now, what did we think of Timothy's speech saying, you know, I want to be, he said, I look up to Viola, Marlon Brando, De Niro. I'm trying to be one of the greats. I want to be the Michael Jordan, the Michael Phelps of acting.
I like it.
Yeah. I mean, I
know didn't hear it. I just heard it the wrong way. Now.
Yeah,
so I like what you just said.
Yeah, I mean, some people found it a little, arrogant, but
why?
Because that's how
he's like acknowledging the girls. Like, I want to be Viola. He said Viola.
I mean, yeah,
but there were other aspects to it that it was a little. I don't know how to explain. I didn't have a problem with it. I didn't, but I know why. People would say that it was a little pretentious feeling. But, you have to know how to play the game. You know, like, you have to play the humility game, because otherwise you're going to be targeted.
I feel like, as an indie filmmaker myself, he I appreciate the ambition. To me, it was very like, it's easy for you to say, I want to be one of the greats because you're already at the upper echelon where it's like indie people. It's like, I'm just trying to get crowdfunding. I'm just trying to get people to see this project that I'm working on. So I think it was almost like, I appreciate the ambition and the hustle and like, honestly, just saying that because a lot of people don't talk like that at award shows. This is the first time he's won an award. So this is the first time we see him give a speech and I appreciate it. But at the same time, I can see how people are annoyed because it's like, girl, you come from, I mean, he talked about his mom being working for Actors Equity for 40 years. So it's like, you kind of came in with a little cushion. You know what I mean? Like if that was someone like a Viola or like someone who we've seen them rise from nothing, like a Coleman Domingo, I'd be like, work, bitch, you better tell them. But with Timothy, it was a little like, okay. Like, you're on every director's list. Like you are in, you're in two movies that are nominated for Best Picture. You know what I mean? Like you don't have to do all that, but.
I mean, like, and you're a young white guy. There's a plethora of roles for you too. You know, like,
Okay, but can we be like, he's still young and he wants that.
Yeah.
Like, and I get it. That way. I like, I really want to be, and maybe he doesn't consider himself one yet. So that's why he was legitimately shocked that he won. I'm not one of those people. Yes, y'all are calling me, but I fit this role right now. Like, I'm the young white boy. I'm why he's not a boy.
But I will say, I will also say that what you're saying, that's not the energy that from when he spoke.
Okay, I didn't see. I'm only getting it secondhand from two people. That might make me feel better, but I would feel y'all if y'all said that. I'll be like, oh wow.
You've been talking to Kylie Jenner and you've been getting, you know, like you don't have to win these awards to prove your self-worth or that you're a talented actor. Like, there are so many amazing actors who never got their flowers. And
that's the part that I didn't want to like dive into, like that the correlation to being a great with, you know, like having awards for it, like is not, but it's also, you know, like October said, he's young. And that is a very young mentality that you have when you're ambitious and, you know, but he's doing the thing. So, you know, like, I'm not mad at him.
Oh, I'm not mad at all. And I mean, 18 out of 20 of the SAG actors who have won Best Actor have went on to win the Oscar. I don't know. I feel like him winning was almost like a Rita Queen. Like, it just kind of canceled out. Like, he was probably in a lot of people's top three in the way that the statistics and the math went. He won.
Did you think he did really well?
I do. I thought he was really good. And I love Bob Dylan. And I thought that he really transformed into that era. And I love Timothy. I mean, I am a member of Club Chalamet, honey. I ride for him. I think he is. Okay. He really is a great actor. He's done so much, but I don't think that this is my favorite performance of his, though. I would definitely pick Call Me By Your Name or even Bones and All. That movie is so slept on, but he literally eats in that movie. That movie is so fucking good. But, you know, good for Timmy. Good for Timmy. Another big win that I am rooting for Miss Demi Moore. She won for The Substance, and I'm fingers toes crossed that she gets this Oscar. Talk about a retroactive, give Demi this fucking Oscar.
Okay, so do you think they're going to do that because of that reason? Like, she should have been had one?
Absolutely.
I was talking to my mom, and I'm like, what happened? Where did Demi Moore go? Why did she vanish in the way that she did?
She disappeared to raise her kids. Yeah. And then she came back when she did Charlie's Angels Full Throttle. Never forget.
I'm just going to say that, especially in the time when she had ascended, that we were not yet in the realm of writing roles for older women. You know, like they were there and they existed, but not, you know, like where we crafted stories around. I mean, we're still not there. Like, actually, you know, like the substance is an anomaly itself. But you know, but that's the biggest thing about it. I mean, the same thing for like a Cameron Diaz. Like, what happened to her? Like, nothing happened. Like, yeah, like they have their moments, and then like we don't give like women like action movies, or you know, like they just don't have the same you know roles that you know the men have, because so many stories are centered around men.
Yeah,
you know,
male gaze.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm rooting for her. And I also love The Substance. That was like in my top movies of last year. And I am excited because I feel like it's changed the game for horror movies to be taken seriously. Like even at the SAG Awards, they had like a little horror segment, which I lived for. I was just like, yes, finally, some of the best storytelling is through horror movies, and the moments that stay with you are through horror. And I feel like The Substance definitely changed the game for that. So I'm excited.
You know, I had my list, my top three films of 2024 was Alien, Romulus, Wicked, and The Substance. And honestly, if, you know, like, because I know that Wicked is not going to, you know, win Best Picture, if I had to throw something in, you know, to be the dark horse to win, like, I would definitely give it to The Substance. Like, either you're going to love it or you're going to hate it, but you will not be bored. Like, 1,000%. And, yeah, it was just, it's just really fun. It's really different. I hope that at least it's acknowledged in some way that, I mean, when we know, Demi is definitely going to win. Like,
I don't know, because Mikey Madison in Anora is incredible. I mean,
I agree.
I think it's between those two. It's really neck and neck. I don't know. And then a dark horse is Fernanda, the woman in I'm Still Here. That is incredible too. I don't know.
No, I agree with you. And I, you know, we were texting, like, because I did tune into Anora last night, actually. And I agree with you. I just love her. Like, you know how when you just see, like, and their energy is of, like, I really like her. And to me, like, she, well, not just her, because the guy, I loved him, too, in the movie. Like, they were great together, but I still think that she's pretty much a newcomer, and I don't think that they're going to just give her an Oscar. Like, she's going to have to, you know, like, prove herself like a few more times. I think that this is Demi's moment
we're talking about their moment. Who do you think did better?
Actually, let me throw something in that someone who's not even been considered, because I think that the other actress from The Substance should have been thrown into the mix.
1,000%. Margaret Qualley definitely should have been nominated for supporting actress.
Yeah. To be honest, I thought that she was the best performance in the movie. And you know, I love Demi Moore. I do. I have loved her all my life. But like, I felt like that I went in to see Demi Moore and I left with that actress performance. Like, am I like, okay, like she ate it.
Yeah,
she did.
Yeah, she was really good.
You agree?
Yeah.
Between the two, it's different, because I feel like what Marcus was saying with Mikey Madison and Anora, her energy is just so, like, that's someone I want to see in a lot of things. Like, her approach was just so real. But that's also the Sean Baker who directed that movie. He directed Tangerine, The Florida Project. He actually won, he cleaned up at the Spirit Awards over the weekend, and he gave a great speech about just the essential nature of independent film and about it being a safe haven for artists who want to, like, control their work and what they have to say. And the way he works, it's like sometimes he'll pick an actor and then make the movie. And I feel like Anora is her movie. But I also feel like Demi did, she was one of, her acting was more like physical, like of course in like the horror grotesqueness of it all, but even just like her face, like not having to say anything. And when people can act like that without, like that Anya Taylor-Joy, you know what I mean? Where someone can just give you a look and you feel, you know exactly what's going through their mind. There was a lot of that. And I feel like that's really acting when you can convey that through film. So it's, it's, I don't know. It's hard. It's hard.
Yeah. But I mean, Demi, she's been in the game. Like she's been overlooked for so long. Like this
okay, is her. I feel like if you're saying that, Marcus, you're playing the Oscar game.
I don't necessarily think that the Oscar game is that bad of a game. Like, you don't want to invest.
I don't like the Oscar game. I don't care about your tenure. I don't care about what you've done in the past. We're talking about this movie today, this performance. I would be like, well, Leo has been fighting so hard and blah, blah, blah. Like, no, like, I don't care. Or like, I don't even know.
Okay,
like,
so say you don't give it to her and she's done. You know, she's in her 50s, like, so she was just never.
I know, but you gotta come back. Hopefully, that other directors will see that performance and say, oh, she is capable and possible. Like, we've never seen her in a horror film. I mean, I don't know if we would call Ghost a horror, whatever, but like, not in
the Seventh Sign. And that's a guilty pleasure movie of mine. The Seventh Sign is one of her first films, and it is a horror movie.
Oh, I haven't seen that. So, some predictions. We're just gonna do the few big awards of what we predict and what we want to win versus what we think will win. So for actor, I'm going to say who I want to win is Colman. I love him. I feel like he is becoming just really a phenomenal actor.
Agree.
He's so talented. And Sing Sing, it's a movie that was so underrated last year, and I thought that he was really good. But I feel like who will win is Adrian Brody for The Brutalist.
Yeah, I second that completely. I think Adrian's going to win. I think that's part of the reason why SAG voted for Timothy to win that award, because they knew that this would be going to Adrian. I think Coleman is great. I think it's going to be a while before he is appreciated and recognized for his skill. And Snack.
Oh my God, he's so fine.
Snack. He is.
He
so
does
sexy
have an Emmy though. He did get an Emmy for Euphoria, so at least he has that.
I guess I have not seen any of these films. Let me just say that. So let's just go off of my intuition. I'm looking at their pictures. I'm thinking Ralph Fiennes, Ralph Fiennes. Like that. Voldemort.
You're Voldemort, right, though,
for sure. Absolutely.
It's very likely that he could win, too. Actually.
He could win. He could win because Conclave was a silent assassin at the SAG Awards. It won Best Ensemble. So this track record is actually interesting because surprise winners have gone on to win Best Picture, including Shakespeare in Love, Crash, Spotlight, and Coda. They were all films that were never really favorites, but then towards the end of award season, they emerged and they ended up winning Best Picture. So Conclave could be that girl. And he was so good in Conclave. So Conclave is about like priest in Italy trying to figure out who the next pope is.
Oh, I saw the preview for that. I saw that. Okay.
Yeah. It's basically like they said at the SAG Awards, it's Gossip Girl 2.0, because they're just running around talking about each other, trying to just gossip in. Okay. And it's tea though.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll check her out.
It's good. It's on Peacock. I recommend. I could see that winning.
Oh, that's my vote.
Okay. All right.
Okay, what's next?
Actress. So I said who I want to win is Demi. Who will win? I put a question mark because I genuinely don't know. It is really between those three. I don't know, but I'm rooting for Demi.
Yeah, I mean, well, I said I think Demi will win, and I want her to win. So yeah. that's my prediction.
Yeah, looking at this list, Demi's gonna win.
Yeah, could you imagine if it was Amelia Perez? That would be so.
Child, let me give one little. I want to throw a little bit of a bone to Amelia Perez, and that is that Zoe Saldana's performance was very good. I know that, you know, we have this thing that we do culturally, like when it's time to pile on something, we really pile on, you know, like when it rains, it pours, like, and, you know, there's a lot of a hotbed of hot mess, you know, surrounding this film right now. But I will say that it may be unpopular, but I did not think that the movie was as bad as people have, you know, led people to believe. And really, Zoe Saldana, this was her movie, you know, like it, she really carried the movie. And yeah, that's all I have to say.
I mean, I think she's gonna win for sure. Zoe's been sweeping. I don't doubt that. She's gonna win. I did not like that movie. It's literally an AI movie. Like, you could tell ChatGPT wrote that movie, and I mean that's what people are saying, that ChatGPT literally wrote the movie. And you know, Hollywood has been pressing for AI to be a thing, so that's why they're pushing for it so hard, to be like, look, AI can make good movies, look at this one.
But let me correct that. I'm not saying that I love the movie. I did not love the movie. And I think I just think that it was like there. And I think that the most egregious part of the movie is the Oscar nominations, the 13 nominations. Like, that is what makes it like, girl, like, come on.
Come on. to be the most nominated movie of the year, it's crazy.
It was one of the most nominated of all time.
It was one away from being the most nominated movie.
You might be onto something, them saying like they're trying to be like, see, AI can do it. I mean, I'm not really heavy conspiracy girly, but that is suspicious. If y'all are saying that it was bad, I haven't seen it. I saw little bits and pieces. It looks a fool. So it's like, I wouldn't even waste my time.
Yeah, it's wild. Mm-hmm. But Zoe is great. And I think her and Kieran Culkin have it in the bag. Like, they're for sure going to win. They've won every single award this season. So I have no doubt about that. I will say, for supporting actor, I want Yura to win from Anora. I loved him. I thought he was so good in that movie. It was a lot, like I was saying with Demi, a lot of facial acting. And just knowing where they are at with a look. And I just thought that his performance was so good. But I definitely think Kieran is going to win, without a doubt.
I didn't even know that he was nominated. Was he the one who is Vanya?
No,
the ball guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was, I almost said something. How inappropriate can we be?
Oh, girl, you could go off.
I don't know. Like, he just gives you the vibe of, like, you want this person to fuck you. That's how I felt.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. I want him so bad. I was like,
he's not even my type. Like, I'm not even, but I'm like, just fuck me. Okay.
Just choke me. Yes.
Yes. Choke me. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
You have to get into the movie.
You
got to
see the movie, girl.
I'm not
going to
feel like, please F me.
You are. I guarantee you.
I don't believe I will.
Okay, well, you watch it and then report back, because I guarantee you gonna feel some kind of way.
The only thing I didn't like about the movie is that I wanted to be left with something more, you know, like from them, like, because I felt like it was heading in that direction, but then I feel like the director kind of wanted to leave you hanging, like she was left hanging, you know, like, so like you don't get to finish, basically.
Yeah. It's not a satisfying ending, but it's a realistic ending. Sure. I appreciate that.
I'm tired. I'm tired of the people all dying at the end. I'm tired of the killer getting away. I'm tired of I'm just tired. Give me a happy moment to be like, case closed, next case. Like, don't do this to me every time. I'm tired.
No.
Turn the TV off.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. So for supporting actress, who I want to win is Ariana, but who I know is going to win is Zoe. But I thought Ari did a great job.
I don't know if I think she did, if I would say that she deserved a win at this point, but I would see what the next performance from her brings. Like, even though I, you know, don't get me wrong, she definitely nailed this role. But yeah, I think Zoe's going to win, and I think she deserves it.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen the other ones, but Ariana did great.
Look at it this way. Imagine Emilia Pettis without Zoe.
It would literally not be what it is. That's so true. That's a good way of looking at it. Because it would not be getting what it's gotten without her.
Exactly. Like, no one would care anything about this movie. Just put it that way.
No. So. That's true. I do think that Wicked's gonna be in the forefront for a lot of the production stuff, like production design, especially because they built most of those sets by hand. It's not AI or like green screen. Mm-hmm. Like, what John Chu did with building those sets is remarkable. So I'm thinking that it's going to be between that and like Dune 2 for a lot of the production stuff. For makeup, because makeup and hair, they're the same category. I'm torn between The Substance and Nosferatu because I feel like The Substance, obviously, like, holy shit, like, that was a full body suit for Mona Susu, whatever her name is. Nosferatu also, they built a whole thing. So
they're creating a lot of sets. I like anything that harkens back to when you can tell people cared about what they were doing. And you know, like, it's nice to see people putting, you know, like, work into, because in my opinion, when environments and stuff are completely, you know, computer generated, it just loses some groundness, you know, to me. So I appreciate the effort. I do think that Wicked is the standout as far as production goes. I think Wicked is the standout as far as costume goes. What's his name? Paul Tazell? He is phenomenal. I would like that man to make clothes for me, like, just to wear on the street. he's great. And I was actually surprised. I felt that Wicked got a snub for cinematography. I don't think it was nominated. And I think that this is due to, you know, again, like, a Paolo situation. I don't know what people were talking about with the coloring or the glare of Wicked, but this was a big thing that everyone kept making videos about. And it's like, what?
Yeah, people were really upset about the coloring. I mean, for cinematography, I think it's between Dune Part 2 and Nosferatu, because Nosferatu had some shots where I literally was like, oh my god, like, this is so beautiful.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Oh my god. So we'll see on Sunday.
I think that the Dune was very, you know, it was good too, but then, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's there that wasn't really there, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, cinematography wise, though, the fact that it went from like these rusty deserts and then it went to black and white. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And it's the fact that it wasn't actually black and white. And then it was just like white people in black clothing. Like, turn it out.
They're probably going to win. I think they're going to give the cinematography to Dune.
Yeah. Well, especially because they snubbed Denis for best director. And John Chu. I'm like, y'all are disrespectful.
Yeah. And also, that's how you know that the Wicked will not be winning Best Picture, because you know, it's only been very few times that they have separated Best Director and Best Picture. So
right. Okay, y'all. Well, I'm excited for Sunday. I can't wait. Mm-hmm. And we will report back.
And we will see how right or wrong.
I know. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. I do the ballots and everything. I'm very, very into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have our signature segment on the show, which is our apps, our main course, and our desserts. So my app this week is this new Netflix show that I started watching with Robert De Niro. And I mean, it's a bunch of people in it. It's called Zero Day. Mm-hmm. And it is, I love a political, like true crime, like spy show. And the cast is stacked. It's Robert De Niro, Angela Bassett, Jesse Plemons, Connie Britton, like it, Lizzie Kaplan, and Dan Stevens. Dan Stevens is in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And it's good. It's good.
Sounds like some heavy hitters.
it's some heavy hitters in it. And I'm entertained by it. It's a fun little political show.
It's a series.
Yeah, it's like Russia hacking us, and Robert De Niro is the president, and Angela Bassett is the president. So I love that. I'm like, damn, this could have been us, but we playing.
Okay.
Right. My main course this week is definitely White Lotus. We're only two episodes in, and I am so locked in. That second episode. Oh my God. October, I know you haven't watched it yet.
I have not, but give me a small synopsis of what the show is about. Bring me into the show.
So the White Lotus is like a chain of like
hotels,
but they're like really not like Four Seasons type
hotels. Yeah. What do you call those? Like resorts. It's a resort.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the first season is in Hawaii. And then the second season is in Italy, and this season is in Thailand.
And the seasons are only slightly interconnected. Like, so every season is an entity within itself, but there are little droplets of, you know, like, well, this person came from that season, blah, blah, blah. Like, but for the most part, the stories are self-contained. So that part is interesting. So you get new cast, and it's not, yeah, you know, it's
none of the cast are recurring.
There's a couple
like Jennifer Coolidge, Natasha Rothwell. Like, there's some people who come back.
Is it a comedy? Is it a mystery? Is it a
all of the above? It's a little bit of everything. You got some murder. You've got some intrigue. Yeah. You got some romance. You got some drama. It is so good. And this last week, I mean, the episode was just. So, oh my gosh.
But what I'll say, one constant is that every season starts with a murder or with a dead person.
Yes.
And then you're like watching the story that evolves around it. Like, it's a really well-crafted show.
Yeah. Mike White is a phenomenal writer and director. My friends and I actually yesterday were going down this rabbit hole of Mike White stuff. And he has written some, I was like, what? Like School of Rock. He wrote that. He wrote on Freaks and Geeks.
I know that.
He wrote on Freaks and Geeks. He wrote on Dawson's Creek. He wrote that movie Orange County. He wrote The Good Girl with Jennifer Aniston. I was like, oh my God, this guy is all over the place. And he was on The Amazing Race and Survivor. That's why, Marcus, Marcus, if you notice, all of the seasons start with them coming on a boat, and that's what they do on Survivor. So he has so many like pop culture little Easter eggs in there that I just live.
Is he a homosexual? I think he is.
Oh yeah, he's one of the.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's a homosexual.
He's a homosexual, and his dad is gay too. They were on The Amazing Race together. He usually has someone from his season or just like survival royalty on. The show, like, you'll be like, oh my God. Yeah.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah. No, he is so fun. In this last episode, it was a lot about performance. There was a lot of performance in this episode, especially with like the trio of friends, the girlfriends. They are just a mess. I mean, it's so funny, but they're all so self-conscious around each other. And then the second one of them leaves, the masks come off and they just, you see that facade cracking, the way that they just dog on each other as soon as one leaves the room. It's like, yeah, but like, is she really happy? I'm like, oh my
God. I said to John, like, thank God I don't have friends like this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the red herring is Kate, who is Leslie Bibb plays her with the blonde bob. I feel like she, something about her, because if you notice, she's the one that shit talking with both of them. And yeah, I feel with her, I think she has a chip on her shoulder because she's the basic one. Like, at least the other two have like careers and, you know, things going on, whereas like she only talks about people and measures herself through like her relationship to other people. Like, she has to talk shit about everybody because she has, you know, she's basic. She's average.
And then we have that, you know, weird exchange with her and Parker Posts.
Girl. That was so... Also,
can we just give flowers to Parker Posey? Because if we're talking about someone who nails the fucking role every...
Assignment. Yes.
Like, man, she can really make you hate her.
She... girl. I mean, this woman comes up to her table and it's like, hi, we spent the weekend together at Georgia's birthday or her baby shower. And she's just looking at her like,
her response is like,
she's literally like,
like, okay.
She's like, bitch, please stop talking to me. She's literally just like, okay, like,
And I like that even like that the kids are like, why are you so rude? And she's like, oh, was it like, I saw her at the weekend, like, I don't know who she is. Like, yeah, it was funny. And also, shout out to Little Schwarzenegger. He's doing a really good job of making me hate him, too.
He's so creepy.
Okay, well, I have a question, actually, because there were some moments that... Because I have to watch the first episode over, because I was watching, you know, with John, and there was distractions going on and stuff. Like, so I feel like I must have missed something. Is he fully related to these other...
Okay, so that's where we're gonna get into my theory. Okay, have you heard of The Staircase? Do y'all know The Staircase?
Love.
I don't know The Staircase.
So The Staircase is a Netflix. It was like their first original like docuseries, like before Making a Murderer in like 2004.
Very good.
Very, very good. And then last year it was made a limited series on HBO with Colin Firth and Toni Collette. Okay. So here's my staircase theory. So Michael Peterson is the man who was actually in The Staircase, and he adopted his best friend's daughters because their mother died. His best friend died at the bottom of the staircase. And
their best friend's mother.
Yes. And then their last name, their surnames is Ratliff, which is the last name of the family on the White Lotus. And then another connection is that the family on the show is from Dunham, North Carolina, and so is Michael Peterson. The dad wants the youngest son to go to Duke so bad. That's where Michael Peterson went to school.
Okay.
And then the final one that I feel like there's just too many coincidences is that both Patrick Schwarzenegger and Parker Posey were in The Staircase limited series on HBO.
Oh, okay.
So I feel like maybe the siblings aren't blood related, because there's a lot of like incesty weird tension. Like Patrick Schwarzenegger's like talking about his sister, and she's like, she's so hot, but she doesn't have sex.
Like repeatedly. Gross.
And then he's like sleeping naked in the same room with his little brother, and he like,
like gets jacking up off
naked and like it's happening. Yes, so I feel like maybe they're not blood related.
I hope not.
Yeah, there's a secret about this family that's coming together.
I've been trying to figure out who killed the person in the beginning. And are you saying that it would be related to the staircase murder?
I feel like the staircase is related to the family in some kind of way, of like the dad is giving Michael Peterson, and either someone in that family is going to die in some crazy way, or like something with them not being blood related. There's something going on there. I don't know. Maybe he just got it. Mike White was just inspired because Parker Posey and Patrick are in it, and he was like, oh, I could use this as inspo.
I don't, there's too many like coincidences to be like you just talked about the staircase, like the Dunham thing alone is like, okay.
But that's actually one of the premises of like the seasons. Like, you don't actually know who died, you know, like at first. And that's like kind of unravel as you watch through the
series. A real person died in that. So it's like, I don't, like, I would think you, he'd be food or something. Like,
oh, yeah. I think it's just more so an Easter egg that, you know, a lot of directors and writers do that, you know, like.
Maybe he was just inspired by it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It's really good. It's really good. And so is the White Lotus. I mean, the robbery was crazy. I think that Chloe girl was in on the robbery. I feel like that's just, it was weird timing that she was in the dressing room, and the way that she looked at that snake choker, which I'm like, that's going to come back somewhere. Okay. And even like that dinner after the robbery, because, you know, Mike White loves a weird White Lotus dinner scene, and that made Chelsea and Rick look like a functioning, loving couple compared to Gary. And, well, he's saying his name is Gary, but we know his name is Greg. And Chloe, so his escort lover. I don't know. And then I'm gonna say that my dessert for this week was Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, because it was good. Oh my God. So Jennifer Tilly, the actress, is a friend of on this season. And she has like a caviar caftan party, and they all show up in these caftans eating caviar. And basically the girls are, those two are fighting, Sutton and Dorit. And Sutton just says something really crass, where she basically says, pick on someone with your wallet size, basically calling Dorit poor. She calls her poor-eat at one point, and it is just crazy. It's crazy. Not poor-eat.
Poor-eat is wild.
It's wild. So that had me entertained.
Yeah, I don't like Dorit. I'm on Sutton's side. I something about her feels very inauthentic. And I don't like a girl who's like being catty, but then like acting so confused if a person reacts to how you're acting. And I feel like that is what Dorit does in regards to Sutton. It's like, well, when your friend says it, like, you're not getting mad at her. She's asking, she literally said like, oh, does that have, well, I'm in regards to talking about Garcelle, like, Marcel mentioned, asked her, like, does that have alcohol in it? He was trying to order a drink. He's not saying you're an alcoholic, like Dorit has said several times about her. And this girl finally had a reaction. It's like, well, can you not call me a bitch in my house? It's like, girl, I'm gonna call you a bitch outside in your house, at the church, wherever you're bitching. Like, that's crazy. Like, and this girl, Bose, a woman, lady, whatever, is like defending. She always is coming to Dorit defense. Always. And it's like, can you stop? And then they're like, oh, so, but also I'm watching it in such a way that I might not get the full scope, but I'm seeing what I'm seeing and I am like, okay, I don't like Dorit.
I mean, I could see why you feel like that, especially in that episode. Like, Dorit definitely was pushing buttons, but Sutton flew off the handle. You know, I think she was in a sensitive state because they just came back from a trip with her mom. They have a very dysfunctional relationship. So yeah,
her mom just told her she loved her or something.
For the first time, she had never heard her say that. So I understand she was feeling a little more sensitive, but I feel like Dorit hit a nerve with Sutton. Like, if someone said that to me, I'd be like, yeah, bitch, whatever. But it's like, Sutton carries grapefruit juice in her bag to make sure that her cocktails are right. She do always have a cocktail. So I think that Dorit may have, you know.
Also, if you are an alcoholic, I don't want you saying it.
I mean, that's fair. Yeah, don't put my shit out there. Like,
don't be confused about why I would react.
Yeah.
That was the name them. Name them.
Yes. Yes.
Right. So yes. It was like, you're saying these things and they might be true, but don't be confused. I mean, Dorit just standing like, girl, you have a drink all the time. I'm sorry. So.
Okay. Well, maybe watch a little bit more of the season. Maybe rewind a little bit because you might feel differently. You might feel like Sutton's a little all over the place because she is. All right, though, that's my meal. I'm fed. Who's next?
My appetizer. I'm going to go anime route, guys. It's not what you think. Anime. I am not even rewatching, but I guess rewatching. It's called The Rising of Ethan's Shield Hero. For those who don't know, there's this kid, or not a kid, he might be like in his teens or something. He goes to the library, he opens a book, and it's like telling a story about these like heroes in another world. He's like transported into this book to another world. There's four different heroes, like a sword, a like spear, a shield, and a bow. For some reason, they all treat the shield hero really badly. Like, you know, he's not an offensive weapon. He's a defensive weapon. So he's like, I want to just go home. And they're saying the only way for you to go home is to like for you to die. Or cardinal heroes are supposed to save the world. So they need him, but it's like they hate him. He's a nice person, actually. So he's like really getting angry and they're like blah blah blah. So that's what it's about. Very good.
Where is this available? Where can we watch?
You can watch it on Crunchyroll. That's where I watch it.
Okay.
My main dish is also going to be an anime. It is called Solo Leveling. When I tell you it's so good, because I'm also a gamer. It's like a role-playing game, which is like turn-based or whatever. But it's like he is a part of a world where he's the only one who knows, but like he's like doing things and it's like he's ranking up his level. Like in this world, everyone has like abilities and it's like, it low-key feels like he's becoming a villain. So it's very interesting to watch. It's so good. I mean, I would tell you to watch it if you're into that kind of thing. Even if you're not watching, you'll see my life. My dessert is Mary Kay medicine. I've only been taking it in like micro doses. It's a guilty pleasure because like this is not my kind of, I mean, like it is a show and it's actually low-key good.
I know of it from listening to Tish's podcast. Yes, because they talked about
Mary, yes, education. Yes.
Okay. How Phaedra left was giving heavy Scorpio energy. That is exactly what I would do. I'm out of here. Like, are you sure you don't want to stay?
No.
Yeah. I'm leaving.
I'm hopping on my private jet with my man and I'm going home.
But then apparently I'm like looking at the comments. All the comments are saying like Dr. Jackie is the actual villain. So I don't know. I haven't watched enough American Medicine, but a lot of the comments are saying, like, you guys don't know Dr. Jack is the villain and everyone doesn't realize how much of a villain she is. A lot of the comments are saying. Very bizarre.
Wow.
And they're saying, like, but then when I saw that in, like, her confessional after when Phaedra was leaving, it gave villain, like, but, like, slick fly, like, Phaedra just can't handle these girls. Like, Phaedra is a housewife of Atlanta. You don't think she can handle Kenya Moore? You don't think she can handle Heavenly? Come like, on. She can handle me. Kenya Moore, the girls that really rumble in the jungle, she can handle these people.
A Heavenly, please.
A Heavenly. And a person who wants to be Apollo's new wife. Was like, we shouldn't even have any big, deeper issues. I don't even know.
Man. Yeah. I mean, that's yes. Okay. That's a good meal. That's diverse. I love a variety, okay? That's hodgepodge.
Yeah. That's really how my taste is. I'm like either watching a good horror film. I'm watching all the things, but I do love an anime.
Ironically enough, I have some anime in my meals too.
Okay.
Yes. Well, okay, we'll start with my apps. Okay, so, you know, like, I'm not really a reality TV girly. Like, I'll tune in here and there, and I can be entertained. Like, I've seen, you know, like, a couple of seasons of Survivor. I like talent shows and stuff like that. But my husband, John, is a 90-day fiancé fanatic.
So really?
Yes. He loves that show. He loves to talk about it, and I have to watch it. So I have seen all, 11 seasons. So 90 Day Fiance, along with probably 4 different spinoffs from The Family, Chantel to Happily Ever After. Yeah, so this is a 90 Day household. And, you know, it's interesting. I always think, even when I watch things like Love is Blind, because we watch that too, and, you know, we won't get into that. Huh?
Love is Blind.
But anyway, 90 Day Fiancé is my app. You know, like, I watch it. To me, they're good human studies because, like, I think, especially even for relationships, a lot of the relationships are built on a toxic foundation to start where there is a power imbalance because, you know, these people are holding something over the other person, and that is their American citizenship. Even if that's not what their goal is, you know, like, innately, there is a toxic power imbalance to these relationships. And it seems to be a certain archetype of person that always seeks to hack this type of relationship. So, yeah. But moving on to the main course. So I have been watching Castlevania Nocturne. Which you know this is a spinoff of Castlevania, which is another anime Netflix anime series that is based on a very old video game, which I was a fan of, and the two are not really related, but it's basically about vampires. It's just really good. They're bringing in the gays, they're bringing in the Mexicans, and it's like, so they're kind of like building the story around real life events. You know, like, if you remember the revolution of Saint-Domingue, when the slaves like killed all the slave owners and took it over, like, the story is taking place within that, and she, you know, like, was a part of that revolution, and the vampires are a part of the aristocrats, and it's just really good. It's so good. Like, and it's, yeah, watch it. It's on Netflix. They're only like 20 minute episodes. So the first Castlevania is based on Dracula.
You had me at Dracula. I'm in it. I love anything vampire. I'm like, yes, let's, yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, let me tell you, like, this show is a show. This is an anime I would recommend for people who don't watch anime, because you will like it, like, either way, because it's just good. Yeah, and so on to my desserts, I have another anime that I have to fully suggest that you all just watch the first episode. There has never been a series, period, that has grabbed me by the pussy and yanked me and said, watch all of me from the very first episode. And this was an AMC series. It's called Pantheon. It was picked up by Netflix. Girl, it's going to ruin your life.
Oh, it is no.
But like in a good way, because it's kind of, and it's so intertwined with like what's going on like now. So the premise of the show is like they're taking people's minds and copying them into like machines to like basically like use that person's mind for like work. But the person is conscious, you know, like so they are aware, like it's so good. Like when I tell you, like, everybody that I've told, I'm like, no, like you need to watch this show and you will not be able to stop. They're like, Mark is like, oh my God, I'm lucky. Watch Pantheon on Netflix. Watch the first episode. And if you're not compelled to keep watching, you know, slap me or something. But there's only two seasons of it. And there's a lot of thinking.
Another show that I would say that I started and it's like, it was so good that I had to just like stop because it's like, what's happening? Was Severance. I'm like, this is very good. I don't know. People are talking, but it was so. I'm like, this.
Are you kidding? The people are talking.
Yeah, they're talking.
The people are talking.
Okay. I'm like, this. Like, who thought of this? Like
Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller. It's like, and it's like a lot of like comedians are in it, but it's like they're not being funny per se, right? Yeah. It's like, I'm like, this is good.
Are you on like, the first season or the second season?
I'm on the first four episodes.
Of the first season.
The plot line to that is very similar to like this animated series that I'm talking about, like Pantheon. I'm like, it's in the same realm of, you know, type of thing.
Oh, like the Innie and Outie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I like that. That's great.
Like the idea of that, like, would you want that? But it's like, you don't even know if the other person is happy at all. Like, what's going this crazy?
Oh, it's so good. Oh, wait till you start season two. Oh, girl. Okay.
We'll touch back.
We'll circle back. Let's put a pin in that. Well, thank you guys so, so much for taking time to dish with me and talk movies, TV. Y'all send me those animes because I definitely want to get into that truly. Okay. And where can the girlies find you?
Well, you can find me just on Instagram. I am a singer-songwriter, and I do have an album project that will be coming out very soon that I'm very proud of. And it's been a long time coming for me. Kish has heard some things.
I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. October has heard some things. I put out music before, but it's been a long time and I've never really like given it a real, you know, college try. So this will be a year for me. 2025 is, you know, good things are in the coming. So that's all. Follow me on Instagram, Marcus Mateo.
Period.
And you can find me on all the things. Well, not everything, but most things. October Odom, like the month. I actually met Keisha on a show that we both did together. I have since done another show. And might be going on another show. Who knows? You'll see me on your TV somewhere. You never know where I may pop up. But yeah, check me out on TikTok. TikTok and Instagram, October Odom, O-D-O-M.
Okay. Right. Okay. Television star, singer, songwriter. Yeah. Okay, bitch. We'll be back next week with Oscar breakdown. So excited. More guest stars. Cannot wait to dissect. And thanks for listening to another episode of Dish with Tish. Bye.
Bye.